All this is said, we will allow participants an opportunity to speak during the public comment periods. If you wish to speak during public comment, there's a toolbar either at the top or the bottom of your screen that will appear when you hover with your cursor. Click on the word participants and a box will open on your screen showing a list of participants. And at the bottom of that, you will click on raise hand. This will be seen by the meeting's facilitator and you will be unmuted an appropriate time to ask your question and give input. During the time you are unmuted, please make sure you don't have any background noise such as TVs, radios, etc. Even shuffling of papers can be picked up and cause disruptive audio feedback through the microphones. All of our standard procedures will be adhered to, such as stating your name and address when called on. Comments will be kept to 5 minutes or less, and vulgarity and inappropriate language will not be tolerated and will result in an immediate muting and possibly removal of the removal from the meeting. If you're unsure how to virtually raise your hand to participate in the discussion, call 231-582-0337 at any time during the meeting, and an assistant planner, Patrick Kilkenny, will be happy to assist you with the process. I would like to thank everyone in advance for your patience and cooperation as we work our way through tonight's meeting agenda. Let's go to the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Pat.
Common?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Thing with the new rules that allow us to resume these Zoom meetings, there's a requirement that the commission state where they're at.
Oh, okay.
And all you have to do is say what city you're in. You don't have to say anything other than that. So as you go through the roll, I would request that you just state the city that you're in.
Okay.
Alman?
Here, and I am in Boyne City, Michigan.
Shoot.
Here, Boyne City.
McNaughton?
Here, Boyne City.
Moblo?
Here, Boyne City.
Needhammer?
Here, Boyne City.
Newton? Place?
Here, Petoskey, Michigan.
Jeff Ross? And Monica Ross?
Here, Boyne City, Michigan.
I just omitted Rose, so it may take her a second to come into the meeting. So, and Jeff indicated that he may be a little late. He was on a call.
Okay. We have to have a motion to approve the absences, or is it we're just going to roll with it?
Well, I think Rose is here.
Perfect. I mean, with Jeff.
Yeah, just
why don't we just in case?
Yeah, Rose is still connecting your audio.
Okay. So I'd need a motion to approve the tardiness of Jeff Ross.
So moved.
Second.
Monica Ross.
Second.
I got a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Monica Ross?
Yes.
Bowman?
Yes.
Shoot?
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Moblo?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Newton?
Oh, sorry, I just got my audio working, so yep. I'm going to have to be cutting out on this one.
Place?
Yes. Okay. Rose, can you state where you're coming from right now?
Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm here at my residence in Boyne. I just was having some technical difficulties. My audio just started working. So.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
As a requirement, we just have to identify what city we're in, Rose.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yep. Move on to consent agenda, approval of minutes from September 21st, 2020 Planning Commission meeting.
I have a question on the minutes.
Yes.
I believe it said something about the expansion of IMI. I thought we had discussed that the expansion was Jervis B. Webb or Diafuku or am I misunderstanding?
The one for in the minutes was Scott was just giving us an overview, even though it was in Wilson Township, just letting us know that IMI was doing an expansion. So
okay, I thought it was Diafuku Web, not IMI.
No, IMI, that one's coming.
That's what I was referring to.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Got a motion?
So moved. Second.
A motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Shoot.
Yes.
McNaughton.
Yes.
Mogo.
Abstain.
Needhammer.
Yes.
Newton.
Yes.
Place.
Abstain.
Ross, Monica Ross.
Yes.
Bowman.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on to hearing citizens present on non-agenda items. Patrick, do we have anyone?
Seeing none, Chairman.
Thank you. Move on to reports, officers, board, standing committees. Scott?
None at this time.
All right. Move on to unfinished business. There is none. Move on to new business. 600 Jefferson Street development plan review.
Aaron, sorry, this is Skylar. I got a question for you.
Yes, Skylar.
We all got an email maybe about a week ago from a resident on the corner of Division and Lake Street.
Yeah.
I don't know if we were just to discuss that tonight or not.
We can.
It wasn't the order might be a good time to discuss that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we'll go back. We'll go over it in the good of the order.
I wasn't sure, but thank you.
I had a chance to talk with Scott, so we can go over it, or he can go over it.
Perfect.
All right. So 600 Jefferson Street development plan review. Scott?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. As you may have heard, that the City Commission approved the rezoning request for 600 Jefferson Street from the conditional multifamily district to the manufactured housing development district. With that approval, the next step is to come back to the Planning Commission for a preliminary plan approval. Mm-hmm. And the preliminary plan approval is outlined in Article 7 and also pulls in the review process for Article 19. It's important to remember that this is a preliminary plan, and the requirements of that are established by the state. While we still need to go through our process, the elements of the plan in our development review are a little more specific and exceed the requirements of the plan requirements for the state. Basically, the state requires that a general plan of the layout and the design, the road layout, that kind of information, not specific construction plans or to the level of detail that we're looking at our plan review, but we still go through the process and we can review and comment on those items, but we cannot use those to determine whether it's compliance with the preliminary approval or not. So I provided you with those article standards 19 and 7. So when we get to that point, we can kind of go through those. I know Mr. Bracci and Mr. Westfall are here, and I believe their engineer, Aaron Norburn, is here. So they may want to go through some of those plan details.
Okay. Well, at this point, I guess I will open it up to hear the plan details.
Okay, thank you.
Hello.
You all hear me okay?
Yes, Steve.
Good evening to you. Thank you for your time again. And my team that I have tonight on this is Don Westfall, who you met previously, did the design for the layout. And then Aaron Nordham from Performance Engineer, who is the engineer who is working with me for the engineering component of the project and has done the preliminary stormwater detention drawings. We've submitted that along with the plans from Mr. Westfall's office, showing some more detail for landscaping, lighting, ingress, egress, and those are in your package material. I've set forth some of the criteria and information on the screen here in front of you that was submitted with the applicant name, which is my LLC, the name of the community, as you know, is Fox Run Manufactured Home Community, listing the people participating. So I don't know if you've had an opportunity to look at the plans that we've submitted and have comments or questions. It may be more productive if you want to ask us questions and or have comments about what's been submitted. A lot of information contained on those plans and submissions that we believe comport with the requirements under the Mobile Home Commission Act. As Scott mentioned, you know, that their standards are for this process are a little more lax than if this were a subdivision or some other proposed development under your ordinance. But we're happy to answer any questions you have, concerns, and I guess I'll put it back to the commission to see where we are with questions about what we've submitted.
All right, thanks, Steve. Scott, at this point, would I open it up to the public first before bringing it to the board?
Yes.
Yes, I'm gonna open it up to public comment at this moment. Patrick, do we have anyone that would like to add?
Not seeing any hands raised currently, Chairman.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm gonna close public comment and open it to the board for any questions.
Patrick, could we bring up the site plan so that we all kind of look at the plan together here? I think the sheet 1 of 1 that shows the layout and all the details would probably be the best one to look at this time. That one.
And if I may just add, this is the identical site plan that was submitted back in July, was it? For the hearing on the zoning. So it's an identical layout as far as the number of sites and the location of everything.
And the setbacks and everything. Okay. Yes.
If I could request, Mr. Chair, just for either Scott or Mr. Bracci to walk us through it, highlighting, possibly.
Well, I think Mr. Bracci can kind of maybe explain their plans for the development, and as we go through the checklist, I think I can comment on, you know, specific items that are talked about on our ordinance and how it complies to those.
Yep. Unless anyone has any specific questions right now, I think that we should go through the checklist, and then that will bring up questions as we go. Unless anyone else has any specific questions.
I think that's the best way to do it, go through the checklist. Agreed.
Okay. All right, thank you, Larry. Hey, Scott, can you start going through the checklist?
There's first? two specific checklists. The Article 7 standards, and in those standards, it refers to the development plan review standards as to review those as part of the preliminary process. So we'll start with the development site plan review standards and then move on to the more specific of the Article 7. Okay. So under general, all elements of the development plan shall be designed to take into account the site's topography, size, type, plot, character of adjoining property, and traffic operations of adjacent streets. The site shall be developed not to impede the normal orderly development and improvement of surrounding property uses. The development plan shall conform the requirements of this ordinance, including those applicable districts. The proposed development is a 30-acre site at 600 Jefferson Street. Adjoining properties are single-family residential uses. Site to be accessed by a private road system. At a complete build-out, the proposed use would utilize less than 20% of the peak hour and daily trip capacity of Jefferson and Vogel. The site to be cleared and developed in conformance with standards of Article 7. A new single family units of varying sizes and styles to be installed.
All right, Scott. And you had said before that for this preliminary review, we don't need to vote on findings of fact.
The general layout and design are required in the preliminary plan by the Act. And as I said, some of these standards are a little more, but you still can comment on those. And,
perfect.
You know, those comments can be sent on to the state as part of this approval process.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions about that? All right. All right, Scott.
All right. No discussion on that. We'll move on. The building design. The building shall relate to the surrounding environment. Basically, single family dwellings be installed of various sizes and styles. And it's in a neighborhood of single family dwellings of varying size and styles. So,
question, during the rezoning request, there was some example pictures submitted. So this does not have the example pictures, but now are the single family manufactured homes to be conforming to the design standards of the ordinance? According to how I'm reading it, they would not be.
Those do not apply to this district.
Okay.
I have a question. Do they plan for any of these to be single wides, or are they all a double wide style?
I believe there's a mixture of the units. If you look on that site detail, it shows a mixture of single sites and double wide sites.
Okay.
Is that correct, Steve?
Yes.
Yep. And that fits within the ordinance.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay, Scott.
Preservation of significant natural features. Judicious effort shall be used to preserve the integrity of land, existing topography, and natural historic architectural features defined in this ordinance, particular wetlands designated by the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, and less extent wetlands not regulated. The subject parcel is currently vacant with majority covered with trees, the east and quarter property. There are some grasslands with a significant slope of over 40 feet. There are no regulated wetlands on the site.
Okay.
Aaron, sorry.
Yes, Scott.
I got a question on the last one. I didn't realize I was muted myself again.
Okay.
Just wondering about the trailers or the single manufactured homes. Are they going to have shingled roofs? Or are we going to have a mixture of trailers and manufactured houses with shingled roofs?
Well, that's not an item that we can control. Those all have to be covered with protection. Those overalls are seen by the state and the county construction office. So we have no ability to designate or control those.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Hey, Patrick. Thank you, Patrick. All right. Scott? Right, move on.
No questions on that. We'll move on to streets. There are no new public streets. This will be entirely accessed by a private street system that'll access out onto Jefferson Street by that boulevard entrance. And those streets would have to be built in accordance with the, you know, the state standards.
Any questions on the streets, the private streets?
I have a question in regards to it.
Yes.
With this being Northern Michigan and a private drive, I'm assuming it'll be handled for private snow removal. Is this something that's been thought of by the developer? Or is that going to be solely the responsibility of the homeowners?
Well, the community will provide the snow plowing for the roads.
Yeah.
As part of the rent.
When clarification, when you say the community, it's not the city of Boynton City's responsibility for snow removal.
No, the developer, the owner of the community will be responsible for that. Since it's private roads.
And to go along with that, maintenance and repair and long-term maintenance, long-term repair are also included in the responsibility of the developer, not the city of Boynton City?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions about the road?
That's how our current trailer park works right now as far as maintenance goes and everything, plowing.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Move on. E, access driveway circulation. The site will be accessed by a boulevard entrance on Jefferson Street, emergency access from Vogel Street. There is an easement that goes out to Vogel, and 24-foot wide private streets with sidewalk will be used for the internal circulation.
So Scott, there is access from Vogel like we saw on the site plan.
There's a dedicated easement out to Vogel, and on the plan they identified that as, you know, a potential emergency access point.
Okay.
Does that mean there'll be actually a street there or sidewalks there, or
the plan does show a street stub ending at the property line?
Okay.
Yeah.
So there won't be a street within that easement?
No, it'd be emergency access only, so they would be able to access to that point.
Okay.
All right. Yes, Tom.
Just clarification. Can you detail the sidewalks, please?
On the plan layout, there's a detail of the street, cross section of the street that shows the sidewalk. On one side of the street, 3-foot wide sidewalk. And that would be throughout the site on all the roads. They do also indicate that they would put a sidewalk on Jefferson down to the existing sidewalk just on the south side of Manny Lane.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, let's move on, Scott.
Emergency vehicle access, all the plans that have been provided to the Boynton City Fire Department, Police Department, Ambulance. I have received no comments back in regards to issues with access.
Okay. All right. Let's move on, Scott.
Sidewalk on interior streets are being provided. And they also indicated that the sidewalk along Jefferson down to Maddie Lane will be installed. And that would be, that's a 5-foot sidewalk out along Jefferson, Steve?
Whatever the city requirements are to be consistent with what's there.
Okay.
Okay. Any questions about the sidewalks? All right, move on, Scott.
Barrier-free access. The site has to be construction in compliance with the public acts and the state act that require ADA access. So that'd be a typical kind of detail that would be in a final plan that they need to submit to the state.
Right. All right, move on to parking.
Parking, the ordinance requires a minimum 2 spaces per unit. And all the sites do have the 2 spaces. Some spaces have garages that would provide up to 2 additional sites or spaces for those. And they're also on the plan, there's 15 spaces shown, which includes some around the office maintenance building and some that are out by, I believe, 59 and 60 between there, out by where the hill is. They do need to submit plans to the state that meet their parking requirements. Again, that's a detail that's going to be in a final development plan, exactly, you know, where all those and how those parking are designed and laid out.
But if they were to adhere to this, that they would fit within the ordinance of the manufactured homes?
They would fit within our ordinance standards for parking. The ordinance standards for manufactured homes also has a requirement for guest parking. So they need to show the state how they're going to meet that. I believe they're looking at, you know, the provision of additional spaces through the garages as meeting that requirement. But again, those final plans will have to be submitted to the state to meet their requirements.
Sure. Does anyone have any questions about the parking?
I think that's addressed further in the section 7.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. Scott, move on to loading.
Loading on this, a dumpster is not shown on the plan. If one is installed, it would need to be screened as per our ordinance requirements.
Okay. All right, move on.
Landscaping. The landscaping plan has been provided. It shows a buffer around the site and details of the plantings and types and design are also shown on the plan.
Yep. Steve, thank you for, and I think we talked about it last time when you brought it to you. Thank you for the addition of the buffering. That works out really well.
No problem.
All right, Scott.
Soil erosion control, they will require a soil erosion permit when they start construction. That would have to be obtained through the county.
Okay. On to stormwater management.
Stormwater plan has been provided showing on-site retention, basically in the southwest corner of the site with all the water being piped to that location and infiltrate from there. There is an emergency overflow to the city system. There's a ditch right out on Jefferson, which ties into a 12-inch pipe just south of Maddie Lane. Spoke with the DPW director, and he indicated that there's sufficient capacity in our system to collect any overflow that does come from the site. They would have to submit for a stormwater plan per our ordinance to the Russ Smith of the county to get a permit once they submit their final plan. And I have spoken with Russ and provided him a plan, and he hasn't provided me any issue or comments back.
Okay. Any question about the stormwater management on this property? Okay. Scott, move on to lighting.
Lighting plan was shown with the locations of the proposed light fixtures. Of course, those are, you know, conceptual. They may move a little bit with the development of the final plan, and they did show a sample streetlight fixture on the plan as well.
All right. Move on to noise, Scott.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
A question on lighting. What they proposed submitted is not necessarily downward lighting. Is that a fair assumption? Looking at the specifications of the lighting, I'm trying to find it here. It says that lighting preferably downward.
Right.
Can someone address that, please?
Scott, is Don? Oh, go ahead.
Don Westfall, are you on the call?
Excuse me?
I was asking for Don. Do you want someone from my team, Tom?
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello, Don.
Could you repeat the question, please?
The specification of the lighting seems to be not a downward light lamp post.
We would provide downward lighting similar to what's required in the ordinance of the city. The state requires a certain level of lighting throughout the community for safety purposes, and okay. We will meet that requirement.
Okay.
I guess my question, can the requirement be met, and would it be best for us to have down lighting?
I don't have a problem with down lighting as long as it meets the requirements of the Mobile Home Commission Act, because they're the ones who will grant us the permit to construct. So they've been very cognizant of the fact that they don't like the bright lights in the sky, and the whole purpose of the state requirements for lighting is to give a safe environment for the residents.
All right.
I guess my only note there, Mr. Chair, would be that somewhere it's noted that we would prefer downward lighting so we don't have the skylight.
Yep.
Sky pollution. Thank you.
Okay.
Tom, I agree with you, Steve. Try to minimize the light pollution for keeping it beautiful up north.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. All right. Scott, move on.
Noise. This is a neighborhood similar to the Lakeview Village, and we anticipate, similar noise being produced by it as a, typical neighborhood.
Okay.
Mechanical equipment.
Yep.
As you see in the perimeter site is screened with a landscape buffer. Screening of specific mechanical equipment for single family dwellings is not an ordinance requirement.
Okay. All right. Signs?
Signs. No signage was shown in the plan. The permit would have to be obtained through the city for any signage that would be installed.
Any questions about, okay. Hazardous material or waste?
None is identified on the plan, and I don't anticipate any being used for this particular use.
All right. Other agency reviews?
There you have the state and the county and all the various other departments as they go through this process.
Okay.
So as I said, this was a preliminary review process that is required by Article 7. That what we just went through. And now we can go through the development plan standards specific to Article 7.
All right.
So first one is section 407.40B, off-street parking. Shall be as specified as Article 24 of this ordinance. That requires spaces, two spaces per manufactured home, and two spaces are provided with each home site as shown on home site details shown on sheet one. Next one, all manufactured home sites shall be provided with two parking spaces. Again, two or more parking spaces provided with each home. And then we move on to the next one. It's if on-site parking is provided, it shall be in compliance with the following. The parking space shall be side by side, not less than 10 feet, not less than 40 feet combined. side by side, two spaces shall not be less than 19 feet, and the length shall be not less than 20. In either method, the length shall be measured from the curb or inner sidewalk edge, and parking space shall be hard surface. Parking areas and the typical home site details show two side by side paved parking spaces. Sites with garages have two additional enclosed parking spaces. Site plan shows the parking area measured from the edge of the curb. They did indicate on the side of the sidewalk that those would be measured from the inner side of the sidewalk as required.
Okay. Any questions about that? All right, and move on, Scott.
Off-site vehicle parking, if provided, the spaces shall be adjacent to the manufactured home site shall comply. All the sites have on-site parking.
Okay.
Parking facilities provided for the storage of manufactured homes if sales office is not part of the development. If a sales office is part of the development operation, and a sales office is not being proposed, is that correct, Steve? That you will not have model units being stored and sold on site?
Well, we're not going to have them. I mean, there's not going to be inventory just sitting there per se.
Yeah.
I may have model homes that people can purchase. I mean,
right. That are set up. Yeah.
But they're not going to be, you know, stacked somewhere like inventory.
Yeah, that's what I think this ordinance is going to talking about.
So. Yeah.
Parking facility shall be provided for the storage and maintenance of vehicles. There is a parking area at the office of 12 spaces. I assume that's where any maintenance vehicle will be kept as well.
Okay.
And then a minimum of one parking space for every three manufactured home sites shall be provided for visitor parking located convenient to the area served. Off-site parking facilities are provided in bays at the office or other facilities shall be in compliance with the R408-30427 of the Michigan Administrative Code. Parking lot with 12 spaces at the office and parking area, three spaces located between 59 and 60 shown on the light site layout. Typical home site details included sheet 101 show sites with garages having four spaces and the total number of units of garages not provided. Okay. Again, I think this is a detail that gets into the final site plan review. They did indicate that, the minimum number would be met and how that would be met, whether through parking spaces or through the community or on site with additional than the two required. I leave that to the state to determine how that's met.
Does this allow for on street parking? Because you go through the 145 units and there's roughly 48 parking spaces that would be required in some sort of fashion.
On-street parking is not shown on the plan.
Okay, but would that be a take care of some of this allowance?
They would have to show how that would be developed to this on their final plan to the state.
Okay.
All right.
I don't anticipate any on-street parking being used for that purpose.
Okay.
Can Don maybe talk a little bit about the parking requirement and what the state is going to expect when you develop your final plan?
Don, did you hear that question?
Yeah, I can respond to that. We will sign the streets fire lane, no parking.
Okay.
In regards to the guest parking, how will that be developed in the plan, the final plan for the state?
Some of the homes will have garages on them and the driveway out in front will accommodate two cars plus the garage. And then there could be shared parking between two adjacent lots to provide, but the state will require us to show how that's going to happen as we proceed with those plans.
Well, having parking on site to meet, will meet that guest parking requirement of the 1 per 3 units?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. All right, Scott, move on to.
Next one, if parking provided on site or in parking bay, separate parking area shall be provided. A separate parking area is not being proposed. Signs for shall meet the as specified in the Point City sign ordinance. Sign details have not been provided. Again, all signage would have to be submitted for review and approval as per our sign ordinance.
Can I, Scott, could I go back to paragraph F, the previous okay. one? Just a comment, being in Northern Michigan here with a lot of people having recreational vehicles, would you consider as an amenity a parking area for recreational vehicles?
I'll respond, I guess, to that. I discussed that with Don, and Don, having done this for 50 years, and I've not designed or developed one of these, his response was that they turn out to be places where people tend to store junk, that oftentimes they become unsightly, and so my sense is that there's likely not to be an area like that. I think, you know, maybe there's some self-storage facilities around town here in the area that if people want to store a boat or a recreational vehicle, they could do it. But I think we're going to stay away from that on this particular parcel. And of course, there's a size limitation that we have anyway. So I think the answer is that probably will not be in the final plan.
Okay, well, appreciate that. Quick question for Scott. Would the property, newly adopted property maintenance code apply to the properties within this development?
The way I read that code, it applies to all structures and properties. So similar to any other single family home, they would be required to maintain it to a minimum standard.
Okay.
I have one more question on parking.
Yes, Monica.
I've been through a lot of mobile home parks before, and a lot of times it's families with teenagers with cars. And if a husband and wife have a car and you got a teenager with a car, I wonder if there's sufficient extra parking, which I believe you've called guest parking. If there's any way some of that, you know, possibly could be expanded on your plan, it seems like what you've discussed in the number of spaces seems quite minimal. And it's just a concern of a thought. And I just wondered if there's a way you could build in some extra parking here and there, because on-street parking will not be allowed.
Right.
Don, do you want to comment on that? I don't know.
Yeah, I can comment. It's a little hard. I'm in Texas right now, but it's sure. There's a little time lag here. But I own two manufactured home communities, and parking can be a problem. And where we have those kind of issues, the state requires us to provide 2 and a third parking space per unit within the development. And Steve will do that. If in a system arises where a family needs more parking than what the state requires him to provide, he will allow them to put additional parking on their lot at their own cost. That's the way we've worked it, and most of the developers do. So that's the answer to that question. And
Okay, that answers it. Thank you.
Thanks, Don. All right, any other questions about the parking?
One comment would be that it seems like the required for the additional one space per three homes is rather distributed, and it's not real obvious for visitors and guests where these places would be, that some designated parking spaces throughout the facility may make it easier for visitors to find where they're supposed to be parking.
Right. So
I agree with that idea. That seems like it would be, it would solve a lot of problems that may arise if they're designated little bays.
So would signage near the office parking saying guest and office parking be, that would that be the suggestion you're thinking?
Well, no, I mean, there's some distributed lot, yeah, parking, two or three spaces distributed in various locations around, you know, perhaps at some of these dead end roads or something like that, that could be used, you know, type of thing. It's, I don't know. I mean, that's, it's something that on the site plan should be created.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that idea, because they should be distributed throughout the park, because somebody's not going to park at the office if they're visiting or someone in the very back of the park.
Sure.
So if there were a couple here and a couple there, it would be a better scenario.
Okay. All right. Did you hear that suggestion, Steve?
I did.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Thank you,
guys. I have
a
question to follow with that.
Yep.
Would it be possible for, if families are purchasing, that they could apply for additional parking? Say, an example with that teenager scenario, if you're coming in knowing you're going to be here and you have kids that are 10, 12 years old, you plan on being here for a while, can you make your needs known at that time to try and help achieve that?
Right. And I think Don addressed that when he had said that if the parking on their site wasn't sufficient for what they needed, that they could, at their own cost, work with Steve at adding another parking place on their lot. Was that not what you needed, or?
That's what Don mentioned.
Yep. So it sounds like that there is a possibility for them to, if they knew it, be able to expand it on their own lot, as long as they work with Steve or whoever owns the property.
Would that then become a taxable item, just like carports and things of that nature?
Not sure.
Taxable improvement?
You have to ask the assessor on that one.
Okay.
Any other questions or statements? All right, let's move on. We were on to D, I believe.
Yeah, the manufactured home development, the lot area and density. It's 145 sites on 30.118 acres, and it's about approximately 4.8 units per acre.
Okay.
Yard requirements. The manufactured home shall be in compliance with the following minimum distances. The proposed home site details show all the setbacks, and those do meet all those criteria.
Okay. Any questions about the setbacks of the yard? Okay. Move on, Scott.
Any structure that belongs to a manufactured home shall be set back the following minimum distances. Again, the home site details show those setbacks, and those are in conformance with all those different standards.
Okay. All right, move on.
Manufactured home site shall be may vary depending on park design and layout of the manufactured home to be installed. However, the minimum standards pertaining to the distance between the manufactured homes shall be complied with. Site dimensions may be computed to include space requirements for manufactured homes which may contain expandable rooms or anticipation of attachments or expansion of add-on rooms. Again, the typical lot dimensions are provided in the site data detail on 1-1, and they have about four or five different typical site sizes.
Quick question. In the typical home site, there's not a width of the lot noted, or is there a width of other not lots?
Well, in the typical lot, it shows the widths at 46 by 106, 58 by 86.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So it is 46 wide there?
So that would be the minimum of one, you know, or it could be 58. So depending on how they're laid out.
Okay. Another question. Are accessory buildings allowed on these?
By city ordinance, they are. The development, you know, the owner of the development would control whether or not they allow them as well. So whatever their rules are regarding the accessory buildings, but by ordinance, you know, if someone wants a shed, that's a permitted accessory use.
Okay, so that part of the ordinance does apply to the manufactured home development.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I thought in the previous packet that we had furnished at our last meeting where this came up, I believe accessory units were addressed in that. I can't recall exactly, but I'm pretty sure that goes, there's the bylaws for the land lease community in and above what the city ordinance is.
Okay.
And I know at Lakeview Village, you know, accessory structures and additions to homes are allowed, and those do become taxable property.
Okay. All right, let's move on. And setbacks.
I think, manufactured home site length, setbacks, the property boundary lines. Manufactured homes, permit developed buildings and facilities and other structures shall not be located closer to 10 feet from the property boundary line of the development. The plan shows a minimum 25-foot boundary setback on the site layout.
Okay.
And then if a manufactured home, permanent development buildings and facilities or other structures abut public right of way, they should not be located closer than 25 feet. They did provide a 50-foot buffer from Jefferson Street.
All right. Any questions about that? Okay. Streets?
The road shall be hard surface. The plan includes the asphalt pavement detail, which is provided on sheet one.
Okay.
The road shall have access to public thoroughfare by permanent easement, which shall be recorded prior to approval. So that, again, that's a detail that would be in the final plan, you know, all the necessary easements and connections to public right-of-ways.
Okay.
A dead end road shall terminate with adequate turning around area. A blunt end road is prohibited. The plan does show a number of blunt ends. Again, this is kind of a detail that's more of a developed final plan. So they would have to show, you know, turnarounds that meet state requirements for those roads that end in just one lot. I'm not sure what requirement there is for the state. So maybe Don can touch on that a little bit.
Don?
Yeah, I can comment on that. The notes on the sheet that has the lighting on it indicate that the blunt end streets would meet the NFPA code for turnarounds, and that's what the state will require. So we have that covered. Those dead end streets that only serve one lot, the state views those as being long driveways.
Okay. All right. So they wouldn't need the turning radius because they are driveways.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Move on.
Adequate safe sight distance shall be provided. All the intersections are made to connect at right angles, and there does appear to be adequate sight distance provided for all those intersections.
Okay.
An offset at intersection is prohibited, and they have not shown any more than two street intersections and no offset intersections.
All right.
Next on
road. Next
road
one.
Markings. Yep. On this plan, road markings were not shown. Again, that's a detail that's in a final plan. Mm-hmm. So that would have to be submitted, and you know, with whatever required markings the state requires. As same with the signage.
Okay.
And then in regards to the road naming, those road names do need to be provided to the city for review to make sure we don't have duplicate names throughout the city. So those do need to be provided when those are determined and reviewed for approval.
All right.
Road shall have a driving surface not less than the following: one way with no parking 13 feet, two way with no parking 21 feet. The proposed detail shows 24 foot wide two way streets with asphalt pavement.
Okay.
At access points where general traffic enters or leaves the park, the width shall be sufficient to permit free movement from the stream of traffic on public roads. As shown on the site detail, 50-foot boulevard entrance with two 20-foot lanes are shown connecting to Jefferson Street.
Okay.
Open space requirements, manufactured home development with contains 50 or more sites, which are constructed according to the permit to construct issued under the Act, shall have not less than 2% of the development's gross acreage dedicated to designated open space, but not less than 25,000 square feet. That works out to a just a little over 6 acres. And the notes on sheet C1 indicates that there's 6.33 acres of open space provided.
All right.
Hard surface walkway or patio connecting dwelling to its off-street parking area shall be provided. Hard surface walkway shown on typical home site details provided on sheet one.
All right.
Each site shall contain an area reserved for the placement of a living unit, base construction, foundation, pads, ribbons, which meets state requirements. The area reserved for living rooms is shown on the typical home site details.
All right.
All right. Each living unit shall be skirted entirely, enclosing the bottom. Again, this is a detail that comes, you know, as they construct. So it's something that, you know, does need to be accomplished when those units are installed.
All right.
Each living unit shall be provided with anchors and tie downs and other devices. Again, this is an installation requirement. Of course, they have to meet all applicable code requirements to be installed and you know, and anchored.
Okay.
Manufactured home development when adjacent developed residential zoning district shall be completely screened by fencing or natural growth along the entire property boundary abutting the district. Planning materials are used for development of a natural edge. The recommendations of Article 23 of this ordinance shall be followed. They did provide a plan that meets that criteria and is shown in the detail on sheet one.
All right. Any questions about that? Are there any other questions that we didn't address?
I just have a couple questions for Mr. Bracci. Number one, do you allow older manufactured homes to come into the park, or is it going to be brand new units only?
My intention is to have only new units.
Okay. Is there a minimum size of the units? Like 700 square feet, 1,000 square feet?
Well, there will be the standard single wide and double size units. So, yes.
Okay.
Being less than the conventional single unit.
Okay. Have you ever done a mobile home community before?
No.
No. Okay.
That's why I hired the best consultant, Mr. Westfall.
Okay. Has Mr. Westfall done any developments in Michigan that we could compare this to?
Don? Still with us, Don?
Showing that his mic off.
He appears to be muted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has. In fact, he owns a couple. One's called Grass Lake, I think. I don't know. He'd have to comment on it. Apparently, he isn't on the call.
I've been to some of these developments that are handled very nicely and others that are a disaster. So I was just curious.
Yeah. But it doesn't really, it also doesn't really pertain to the zoning of the project.
No, it was just a question.
Yeah. Thank you,
Monica. My intention is to make this a top shelf project and
good.
You know, that's how I do stuff.
You
know? Yeah. Okay. Scott, then at this point, it was just a preliminary review. Is that correct?
That's correct. The comments on the various items will be recorded and provided. And now you can make a motion in regards to the preliminary plan.
All right. So at this point, I would need a motion to accept the preliminary plan with the addition of our comments.
I will, Aaron, this is Tom. I will make a motion to approve the preliminary development plan as presented with the notes taken and with Article 7.4, requirements of 7.4 and Article 19 as noted.
Okay, I have a motion.
A second.
I've got a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Pete Hammer?
Aye.
Newton?
Abstain.
I'm sorry?
Abstain.
Please?
Aye.
Monica Ross?
Yes.
Bowman?
Steve?
Bowman?
Sorry, I had to unmute. I vote aye. And a point of order, are abstentions allowed?
Yes.
I thought there had to be, by Robert's rules, there had to be a specific reason for an abstention, such as a conflict of interest or something like that. But I'll pass.
Okay.
Anyway, I vote aye.
Mm-hmm. Shoot.
Excuse me?
Shoot.
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Moblo?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much, Steve, and your team.
Thank you very much. Look forward to getting this moving.
All right.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to new business B, review and discuss student board membership on planning commission.
One question. I didn't hear the tally, the final tally of the vote. Can you provide that, Pat?
We have A's as Bauman, Shute, McNaughton, Moblo, Needhammer, Place, Monica Ross. We had Newton abstain and Jeff Ross not in attendance.
Thank you. I couldn't hear it all.
Okay. Scott?
Thank you. We had an inquiry from an enterprising young man, Liam Dreyer. He is the son of our former assistant planner, Annie Doyle. And he provided or developed these materials to facilitate the student engagement in various boards and commissions. He originally approached the Main Street Board and they talked about it. And I think they embraced the idea. And I think the city as a whole looks at this as an opportunity and wanted to bring it to the Planning Commission to see if you would welcome a student liaison to the Planning Commission. In the bylaws, we do allow to have liaisons, but a student is not specifically identified, so we'd have to amend our bylaws to include that as one of these. A liaison is basically someone that can engage in discussion with the Planning Commission, but they have no ability to vote. They have no ability to bring agenda items. They have no ability to do anything other than just, you know, talk with the Planning Commission as they talk about various topics. So I think it's a great way to maybe cultivate young people and get them involved and interested and hopefully become, you know, future Planning Commission members. So,
yeah.
I provided the material that he developed. You know, it's pretty impressive for a young man to do this. And I look forward to hopefully, bringing some students on as liaisons.
Yeah. Scott, I have a quick question. Would this have to be, would the student have to be approved by the city commission? Is that kind of part of it?
No, it wouldn't be a formal appointment. In the bylaws, it talks about liaisons and basically just designates them.
Okay.
So there could be a student representative designated. So if the school says, yeah, this student is going to be our liaison for the Planning Commission, mm-hmm. and then that position would be open for them to do that.
All right.
I think that's a fantastic idea. Yep. We need more of it.
Mm-hmm. Having a son coming through high school, I know that Mr. Ross Daniels, he's one of the teachers, encourages student involvement by attending board members. I mm-hmm. think he would be a good contact person for any people or for feedback on students that may be interested or be a good fit. Mm-hmm. And then another question in regards to length of the liaison, would that something that we would designate ahead of time or would it be mutually agreed upon on a case-by-case basis?
Well, basically, it's not an appointment, so it's not a period of time or anything like that. It's just a position that student who's designated to hold that position. So if Moines City Schools says our student liaison is X, that's the person that would come to the meeting to do that until, you know, they assign somebody else or he moves on to something else. So again, no, there's no, you know, durations, appointments, or any things like that would be attached to it.
Right. Although
it's something, the bylaws are there, there's a number of liaisons that are already identified. You know, it's just basically by their positions, mm-hmm. and through that position, they're a liaison. So whoever assumes that position for the school would be that liaison.
Right.
As mayor, over the last 3 years, I've went and talked to the students in Mr. Daniels' classes, and very, very successful. They're very interested in local government. Mr. Ross did a fantastic job of directing the discussion. And one of the topics I always ended up with, you know, what do you want to see at Boynton City happen? What do you want to see as a student, as young people in Boynton City? And there was always lots of ideas, but the two that rose to the top was they wanted a local theater, and number two, they endorsed the idea of being able to be involved with the government in as a student representative. And it was one of those things that was on my back burner, and last year with the schools closing down because of the virus, and I kind of lost track of it, but I acknowledged the student going above and beyond and presenting this to us. And I think it's a great idea for all of our boards to have student representation.
Absolutely.
I'd like to add that I think that's it's an incredible opportunity for students such as Liam. And I think that's great that he was so proactive in having the interest to be a part of this. You know, I would also want to say for all of us on the commission as well, in a way, it's an added responsibility to our community as well. You know, that will be a kind of a mentor in a way, and kind of somebody that will be, you know, somebody that Liam would look up to as, you know, the representatives of their community. And while I understand on the planning commission that, you know, here we are, we volunteer our time, and, you know, sometimes that's kind of different than, you know, such hired positions. But I guess I want to reiterate the value of, you know, that we'll be representatives of our community to Liam and to any future students as well. And so with that, I want to say too, you know, just the value of, you know, being a good ambassador for, you know, being the adults on the board to him as well. So.
Okay.
The commission can amend the rules at your meeting, at this meeting, if they wish. And to allow this, basically you would create a student liaison as stipulated in your bylaws.
Okay. So I guess we would need a motion to make that change to our bylaws, to the addition of the student liaison.
I'll make a motion to add to our current bylaws a application for student liaisons.
Second.
Can you hear me? I'm having a lot of interference. Okay.
Yep. I've got a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Newton.
Aye.
Place.
Aye.
Monica Ross.
Aye.
Bowman.
Aye. Great idea.
Shoot.
Yes. Yes.
McNaughton.
Yes.
Moblo.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. Thank you, Scott, for bringing that in front of us. That's awesome.
And then just got to find a volunteer.
Yeah. Oh, well, when I was in school, I was the liaison from the school board to the school board from the student council. Mm-hmm. I did that for quite a while. That was interesting.
And look at you now.
I know. look at me now. I get asked if I was interested and then just stepped in. So
you're doing a fantastic job, Aaron.
Thanks, Skylar.
I would be happy to contact Mr. Ross very soon and tell him that we passed the motion and that maybe he should get together with Scott and or Aaron and work out the details. But I'll contact Mr. Daniels if you would like.
Yep. Sure, I would appreciate that.
And I'd absolutely be willing to come in with Scott or by myself into the classroom and talk a little bit about the Planning Commission. That would be right up my alley. I'd do that.
That's a good idea, Aaron.
You going to warn them that they have to sit through meetings like we have to?
Of course.
Yeah. You can talk frank to them.
Street wits and things. Okay.
All right. Let's move on to the staff report. Scott?
Just one thing. The housing summit, I'm not sure if anyone signed up for that, but if you did, you should have received an email this morning with the details to log into it. If you're still interested and haven't signed up and want to, you may just give a call in the morning. We may be able to get you still on, so just let us know. And that's supposed to be for the next 3 days, talking about housing issues in Northern Michigan.
And those are like all day seminars, right?
Typically, in the past, when it's just been a one-day deal when we went, so I'm not quite sure how they're going to put this over 3 days, but.
Gotcha.
It is 3 days. It starts tomorrow at 9:30 or 10:30. There's two sessions in the morning, two sessions in the afternoon, okay. And pretty much it follows that format. It ends quite late, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock on Wednesday.
Gotcha.
And I'm in attendance.
Good.
All right. Anything else, Scott?
That's all I got for now.
Okay, let's move on to good of the order. Scott, I know that some of us had received either emails or letters about a resident on Division and Lake Street, I believe.
Right. Yeah, the concern about the truck route. The Planning Commission can have input on that, but as a body, you really don't have any control over that designation. That was designated, several years ago through a traffic control order, on a city commission designation. So that would be the path. If there's any change to it in the future, it would have to be approved by the city commission and a traffic control order signed by the city. In that process, maybe they would request input from the Planning Commission, but as a body, you have really no ability to designate or change that.
Yeah. And did you, the resident, did you give them the information to who to contact?
That was submitted to Mr. Kane, and okay. I'm assuming that's moving up the chain to the City Commission for review and discussion.
Okay. Any questions about that, or? All right.
Scott, I've got a question for you just in following up with our emails we've had over the last couple weeks in regards to that vacant parcel. Any news or updates on when I may be able to do the formal application for that vacation?
Well, that's probably a discussion we can have in private.
Okay. Alrighty.
I just, so everybody knows, I did email Mike Kane. I'm waiting to hear back from him on hoping to start up the marijuana task force board meetings again, or public discussions. So I've had a few people approach me, and I think it's just time to start them up again. So,
okay. Thank you, Skylar.
Yep.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order?
At the last meeting, we discussed there was development-ready parcels in some kind of thing at the, I think, Economic Development Council. And several of those parcels were already something being done with them, like one of them was the theater and things like that. Has anyone, when do we make changes to some of those things and put different properties on that list?
Right.
Yeah, I was thinking doing that process probably about later this year, in the beginning of next year, and kind of have that an annual review, review and update that list the beginning of every year is my plan.
Okay, because I thought of several different parcels that I thought might be good. So I should just email that information to you.
Yes, yes.
Okay, very good.
Next year's our five-year review too, right, Scott?
The master plan review?
Yeah.
We just did that last month.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And then now we need to review that at least annually.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
All right. I guess I just need a motion for adjournment at this point.
I'll motion.
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call, Pat.
Monica Roth?
Yes.
Bowman?
Aye.
Shute?
Aye.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Moblo?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Newton?
Aye.
Place?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. Thank you, guys. I'll see you in the next meeting on November 16th.
All right. Thank you.
Right. Have a good one.
Bye.
Thank you.